Coming up on today's show.
Well, we can't have like four blonde girls, you know, that all do country. It's like, why? You know, why? We're all different. We all have a different story. We have different songs. We have different voices.
Another man, another man, another man will. Come on.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville, my guest is a singer, songwriter, guitar player who released an album on September 20th and followed it up with an official music video released at the end of October. One of the tracks from her new album was featured on two Spotify playlists and another on Apple Music. She has opened for big names in country music such as Maddie and Tay, Walker Hayes, Lainey Wilson, and L. King. And this past June, she had multiple performances as part of CMA Fest. Her cover of the song Neon Moon was spotlighted on Fox TV's The Resident, and her official YouTube channel has a combined total of more than 4.1 million video views. You've been hearing a song of hers called Another Man Will. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Charlie Reynolds.
Thank you.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, yeah. You are one busy performer, so thank you for making the time to talk with me today. Let's get started by having you share first with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Another Man Will.
Another Man Will is one of my favorite songs I've ever released. This song is really just kind of a sassy anthem saying, if you know, this guy you're with isn't doing it for you, then another man will. If he's not treating you right, there's a man out there that's going to treat you right and is going to be, you know, the perfect man for you. And so it's just kind of a little sassy song to a man telling him to get his act together because I could find someone else. And with this song, it was really fun with the production because I really kind of found my sound and who I am as an artist when creating this song. So it just holds a special place me, and after, you know, years of trying to chase the sound and find my sound, we created this song and we found it. And so it was just an exciting time when producing it, because I was like, Zach, we found it. This is what I want. This is what we've been looking for for so long. And so I love this song. It just really is one of my favorites because of that as well.
Did you write the song by yourself or was that a co-write?
No, this was a co-write. It was with Jesse Pugh and Blaine Younger.
And did you bring in the idea or did one of them have it?
I didn't. Actually, it was supposed to be for Jesse. She's an amazing artist as well. And we wrote it and I texted her and I was like, hey, are you planning on cutting this? Because if not, I would love to cut it. But if you are, that's totally fine and I can't wait. But I just would really love to cut it if you're not thinking about it. And she was like, oh my gosh, no, you do it. Like, you go for it. And so I was so excited because I just fell in love with it. It was just, it's just a fun song.
Well, and let's face it, that also kind of takes you off the hook because you know that if you were the one that came to the right with that idea, that all your family and friends and fans would say, okay, who did you write that song about that he needed to step up his game or you're going to replace him? Now you say, it wasn't my idea. I just was one of the writers
on it. It wasn't me. Oh, that's funny. I love that. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new album, which just came out on September 20th and has 12 songs. Tell us all about that project, who you worked with on it, where it was recorded, maybe what the theme of the album is, all the details.
For sure. So I last year decided that I was going to put out my first album this year because I've been wanting to do it for so long and I've had fans commenting and messaging me for like a few years now asking when I would have an album instead of just singles. And I was like, you know what? Now, I'm going to do it now because I'm an independent artist. I can still have the creative control to do, you know, put on whatever songs I want, do the whole branding behind it, however I want to do it. So I took the opportunity to go ahead and do the album and pick my favorite songs that we have written in that time. And me and my friend Maddie, who she did all the visualizers, all the photos, everything for the album. And we flew out to Arizona for 24 hours and shot all of that in one day, which was insane. It was also a heat advisory in July in Arizona. And it was it was so much fun because we made all these memories, but also we both got heat exhaustion by the end of the night. It was crazy. But it was worth it because everything turned out amazing, but it was definitely crazy. But so she did all of that, and then I picked all the songs, and I just really hoped that what I picked would relate to my audience in different ways. You know, the album kind of goes into a lot of different valleys, what I'll call it. There's like the fun, sassy songs, and then there's this, you know, sad kind of valley that I take you through halfway through. But I leave you on a happy note, so that's all that matters. But I just really wanted to pick my favorites and the songs that I felt I could relate to and loved the most. And so far, I feel like everyone loves them as much as I do, which has been great. But talking about Another Man Will and finding my sound, I think there were three more to go when we had started on Another Man Will, because that one was a little bit later. Added because I wasn't supposed to sing that song. And I wasn't writing for me. So that one, you know, that one and Blame It on My Boots, you can kind of hear the same kind of sound, which is what I have found when we were almost finishing up the album. So I'm excited to continue that, you know, moving on further. And with this Christmas song that I put out called A Little Christmas, it has the same vibe, same sound. And but the album just as a whole, it really was just kind of taking a leap of faith, and I'm just really proud of it for that.
But I have a couple of follow-up questions based on what I just heard you say. Number one, you kept saying, I picked the songs. So there's 12 songs on the album. Does that mean that you had like way more songs written than you needed? Is that why you're saying I picked the songs?
Yes. So we wrote a ton of songs, and I've also just had songs for years that I've had that haven't been put out yet. And so I was debating, like, do I put ones on there that I've had for a few years? Do I write all new songs? What do I go with? And it kind of was a mix of both. I would say I held off on some of the older songs because I just get very excited when we write a new song that I like, and I want it to be out right away. But I think Freedom Ain't Free was one of the first ones written for it, which was 2 years ago. So that's probably the oldest song on the album, I think. But yeah, there were way more to choose from than just the 12.
Okay. The other question is, you said that the two of you went out to Arizona for like 24 hours. Why Arizona? Why did you pick up and go there? What was in Arizona?
Yeah, so I was trying to decide how I wanted the branding to look for this album. And I just love the desert, you know, thing and cactuses. And I think it looks so cool. And the mountains, everything just looks so beautiful. And I was like, you know, I think it'd be really cool to go out there and shoot all the visualizers and make them cohesive to each other out there and do, you know, the cactus vibe, do one at sunrise, do some in the, you know, middle of the day, some at night with the moon. It just all came together. And I think that gives a little bit of a Western vibe, the desert, and so it worked.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I don't know if I ever want to go back to Arizona in the summer ever, because it was horrible. And it was funny, it looked like we had rented out all of Arizona because there was no people anywhere.
Wow.
I mean, none, because no one wanted to go outside because there was a heat advisory. But it was crazy. So, but I'm glad that we did it because it looks really good.
Wow. There's something that you mentioned that I think it's important for us to talk about. And audience, you need to understand that, Charlie, although this is technically your debut album, wow, you have actually released a lot of music, an EP last year and lots of singles. dating back to February 2019, so close to 5 years ago. And you said that people were asking you, when is there going to be a full-length album? And you said it was just kind of natural. It was time to do it. But I think it's encouraging, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, I think it's encouraging that we always say that it's a singles-driven industry, and so many artists just release single after single. And so I think that had to be encouraging to you that people were contacting you to say, we love your music. When's there going to be a full-length album? And in late 2024 that you're able to put it out on because of demand, that has to tell you, I'm obviously headed in the right direction that I'm able to release a 12-song album based on it was a natural, but it was also what my fans were asking for.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I felt so, you know, whenever someone says something like that, or even says, like yesterday at a cover gig that I was doing, I played some originals, and they're like, I love your originals the best. You know, that's just the best feeling in the world, and that people actually want to hear the music that we're creating every single day and want to hear more of it. You know, that is just such a incredible feeling, and it makes you feel like you're doing something right, you know, because a lot of the time, I think it's very easy, at least for me, to get in my head and be like, what am I even doing? Why am I even doing this? Even, you know, just on random days, just on bad days. But I think then, you know, you remember, oh, people love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. And it's worth it every step of the way. It's not an easy industry by any means at all, but it's fun. And that is just such a rewarding part of it that I love, that I get to be a part of.
Yeah, and audience, I didn't say it in the intro, but as you just heard Charlie say, she did release an original Christmas song back on November 8th. So by all means, do go and look for A Little Christmas. Like you just said, you're doing a cover gig and people want to hear your originals. And I always think it's impressive when there's so many standards out there that get re-recorded and re-recorded and re-recorded. It's nice when someone comes out with an original Christmas song.
Yes. Well, you know, I've put out two cover Christmas songs. I've done O Holy Night and Last Christmas, and I love doing those, and I love Christmas music. I mean, it's my favorite time of year. We've already got our Christmas tree up in my house, or two Christmas trees, actually. But so we love Christmas, and I kind of was a little nervous, you know, because there are so many Christmas classics that it feels like kind of intimidating to put out an original one, just because you don't know if people are actually going to want it and listen to it. But I think that was just in my head, because I listen to other people's original Christmas music. So we wrote it actually a year and a half ago.
Whoa.
In June. Yeah, and I was going to put it out last year, and I just didn't time it right, and it just got busy. And so I didn't end up recording it. So I recorded it this year. And I love it. So I'm just excited. It's such a country Christmas song. It's funny. Yeah, I hope it'll bring a smile to your face. But I think it's the perfect song for, you know, turning on and decorating the Christmas tree, or driving, you know, whatever, just in Christmas time. So I think it's a fun song. So I hope everyone likes it.
Folks, this episode is releasing on November 27, which means that tomorrow morning is when I get on a plane to head west. Yes, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, but I will be getting on board the flight early to head to the left coast, as it's called, because next Monday and Tuesday, that's December 2nd and 3rd, I will be speaking at the Las Vegas Writers Retreat. That is for writers of literature, by the way, books, not music. That might be too short notice to meet up, but that's okay, because I've got more travels coming up in January where hopefully we can come together. January 16th to the 19th, I will be at PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando. Go to podfestexpo.com for details on that event. I will be one of the speakers there, so a great opportunity to connect face-to-face. The following week, I will be back out west. Specifically, I will be in Anaheim, California, attending the massive NAMM show at the Convention Center. Keep up with the @NowHearThisEntertainment official Instagram account and or the weekly e-newsletter for specific dates for that trip. I welcome the opportunity to meet listeners of this show and say hello and thank you. Drop me an email via podcast@nhte.net if there is something that we can arrange somewhere. Charlie, let's split this into two separate questions. For an up-and-coming artist nowadays, one of the big targets in terms of his or her music really getting out there is ending up on a good playlist. Your song People Think, which was released back in May but is also on this new album, was featured on Spotify's New Music Nashville and Fresh Finds Country playlists and Apple Music's New in Country. Do you have, say, a promoter, a publicist, management, someone that helped get those songs on those playlists? And then also, with Spotify in particular, did you see those playlist placements translate to more monthly listeners and more streams on your other songs?
Yeah, so my distribution helps a lot with that, with pitching the playlists. And I also will send an email personally pitching the songs. And also, I believe my PR team does that as well. So it's kind of everyone, it's a joint effort. But I've had some luck on almost every single getting on those playlists. And also Off the Record, the song off of the album, got on there as well, and Visiting Hours. And, you know, it's interesting to me. So I am so grateful for Spotify and Apple for doing that, because it really opens up like a new audience to my song. So I feel so grateful and blessed every time they do that, because it really does make a difference in monthly listeners and in new audiences and new listeners. So that's always so exciting, and I can't thank them enough every time they do that. But the monthly listeners, it's kind of crazy now. Almost everything, it seems, is based on that, on Spotify monthly listeners, like getting bookings and all that kind of stuff. And I don't necessarily think that's the best way to gauge, you know, by having that raise the monthly listeners, but I do thank them so much every time they do that, so that it will help raise the monthly listeners, in hopes of getting, you know, a little farther along with bookings and, you know, streaming numbers. But really, my hope for those playlists is that people actually do discover the songs, and they're not just, you know, turning on a playlist and not paying attention. I really hope that, you know, and I know that a lot of the time it does bring new listeners, and I just hope that I'm able to connect with a lot more people, and my music's able to connect with them through being added on all those playlists.
Yeah, and in the case of the song that I refer to, People Think, the hope is that they'll hear People Think on one of those playlists and say, I like this artist enough that I want to go find her, and what else does she have out there, instead of, oh, that was a good song, and then they listen to the next one on the playlist and the next one after that. And even if they enjoyed People Think, the key is, now you got to go find Charlie Reynolds and listen to more of her stuff. Don't just go, that was cool, I liked that one.
Exactly, yeah. I hope that they, you know, go a little further with it and, you know, follow me on Spotify or Apple or whatever, you know, and go check out the rest of the music.
Yeah, I like your point, though, about bookings being based on monthly listeners not really being an accurate barometer, because I've had a lot of guests, I feel like more recently, that have said, a song can be terrific, and if it never goes anywhere, it's still a terrific song. Mm-hmm. So you could have just one good song after another in your catalog, and I don't mean Charlie Reynolds, but an artist who has music on Spotify, and for whatever reason, you just don't have the streaming numbers, you just don't have the monthly listeners. They're still terrific songs, and it does not please me to hear that there are venues, there are events that are looking at monthly listeners and letting that be the deciding factor as to whether they should book the artist or not. Because when you've got someone like Charlie Reynolds, who's putting up not only huge numbers in terms of, I mentioned your YouTube channel, but as we're going to be talking about later on this interview, some of the big names in country music that you've opened for, it shows that there's so many different variables that can and should be considered. I'm going to get off my soapbox here in a minute, but
no, you're good.
You know, monthly listeners, to just look at monthly listeners and decide, you know, maybe not this person and move on to the next. I just don't like that.
I don't either. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, because there's so much talent just with everyone, especially like all over, but in Nashville. And I know that a lot of some of the big events that happen here are strictly based on monthly listener numbers. And I just think that's crazy, you know, because it really is just based on the luck of getting on a playlist, because, you know, if we're talking fans and talent and numbers, you know, the numbers, if they're coming from a playlist where people aren't actually listening, then they're not true numbers. You know, not that this song hasn't gotten the streams, but it's not because, you know, 200,000 fans went and listened to it right when it came out. It's because it got on a really good playlist, which is still amazing. It just shouldn't, the booking part of it, I don't think should be based on that. I think if, you know, you're a great performer, you're a great, you know, artist, your songs are great, then that's what it should be based on, not based on if it got on a playlist or not that spiked the numbers of the song.
Agreed.
You know? So anyway,
Another target that up-and-coming artists nowadays aim for in terms of widespread attention for their music is getting film and or TV placement. Here again, regardless of the fact that it was a cover song, you were fortunate to get a placement on a TV show on Fox. Same question, how did you land that placement? But then also, since it was a cover song, did you see that move the needle for you as far as doors that might have opened and or getting maybe social media followers, music streams, any of that?
Yeah, so it's actually funny. When I got the email for that, I thought it was a scam.
Wow.
Because the email was so just like casual. I don't know. It just seemed fake. And so I sent it to my manager at the time and he looked into it and he was like, no, this is legit. And I was like, what? So we did it. I re-recorded it. They have found a version of me singing it on like a karaoke track on YouTube. And that's how they came across it and then asked me if I could re-record it. Yeah, it was so cool. So we re-recorded it, but it all had to be done in like a week. So my friend Zach, who did most of the album, produced most of the album, he produced it and we did it and it came out. And it was funny because there was talk of like the network was saying, you know, you should maybe release it because our fans are going to want to go listen to it. But I had just released a cover song like 2 months before. And I was like, I don't want to be like the cover girl. I'm not, you know, I don't want to release two cover songs in a row. And I really thought, I was like, no one's going to hear it in a show and go listen. Like, I really didn't think anyone would go look it up. But we were watching, I had some friends over and we were watching it premiere the episode, and my YouTube video that they had originally found started blowing up.
Whoa.
I mean, blowing up. And I was like, oh no, I made a mistake. And so I hurried up while we were sitting there watching it, and I made a video with the new audio that I had re-recorded, so it was the exact one from the show, and I uploaded it. And there were comments, I mean, so hundreds of comments of why it wasn't released on Spotify and Apple. And so that was something that I definitely dropped the ball on and that I've learned my lesson, because I really just didn't think anyone would care or go listen to it or try to find it. And I was wrong, but I already had my single releases scheduled, and there was one coming out in 2 weeks. So I was like, I can't, you know, just put this out right now. So I ended up releasing it, but it was months later, even maybe a year later, because it continued to blow up. I mean, people just kept commenting from other countries when it came out in their other country, or, you know, watching it, streaming it on Netflix or Hulu. I don't remember which one it's on, but so, and I still get comments on my YouTube, actually, like every week, just saying I'm here from the resident. And it did help a lot. And I wish if I could go back, I wish I would have released it then, but it's definitely done really well. It's opened me up to like a whole nother audience from the show, which has been cool. And it's the second most streamed song out of all my songs on Spotify. So yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Audience, there's some good lessons in there. If you are someone that is an up and coming performer, or if you've got a close family member, friend, etc., who's a up and coming performer, listen to Charlie describe that experience that she just said, that if she had to do it all over again. I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, back to episode 552 that was released a couple months ago, September 11 to be exact. And the guest was Austin Foreman. He's up to 1 million TikTok followers. He talked on that interview about going through something similar like what Charlie just described. He had a song that went viral and they were really just kind of putting stuff on Facebook and not really thinking much of it. And the audio wasn't that good. And all of a sudden it just started to snowball. He got interviewed by the New York Times and he said, you know, I wasn't prepared. I didn't have anything else standing by. I didn't have anything in the can. And he was basically saying the same thing that Charlie was, that, you know, I wish I would have been better prepared and reacted a different way. Charlie, I wonder, when you got that initial email and you said you thought it looked like a scam, was that from, say, like the music supervisor for the resident? Was that who it was?
Yes, and it was funny because it really was just because I get so many scam emails a day. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. I get fake podcast interview ones, like from Sarah Evans booking, which luckily I messaged her daughter on Instagram and I was like, is this for real or no? Because this looks fake. And she was like, no, it's not. And I just get so many, like from Jelly Roll's wife, like all these fake things of people just trying to scam you. And so I just thought, I was like, this is not for real. Like, why would they want me? Like, I'm, you know, because at the time I was just like, why wouldn't they get, like, and like someone famous? I don't know. I just was confused why they wanted me to do it. And so I think I just was like, and it was casual. It really was just something like, hi, we love your version or your karaoke of Neon Moon that you posted on YouTube. Do you think you would be open to recording your own version for our TV show, The Resident? And I don't know. I just really thought it was fake. But it was crazy. But then my manager at the time found an email, or like looked up her email and on LinkedIn or something, and was like, oh yeah, that's for real, like that's legit.
Wow, so cool.
Knew someone that knew her, and it was just crazy. So cool. It was really a cool experience.
No doubt. I want to start getting into some of these fun performances that you've had the opportunity to do, but first, gosh, we're almost halfway in here and we haven't even talked about your backstory. Tell us about growing up, meaning when and how you started into music, meaning thinking that this was something you were going to pursue. I'm not referring to, oh yeah, I was always singing around the house as a kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was, I grew up doing like talent shows and all that stuff, but really in high school, I loved singing and I loved doing music, and I had auditioned for The Voice a million times, and I had auditioned for American Idol, and nothing had worked out. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go to college because that's what everyone does. And that's kind of what our school was pushing. But I went to Nashville for the first time when I was like 17 for The Voice, actually. And I was like, I love it here. You know, this is so cool. And my parents talked to me and just said, you know, if you want to move there and try to do music, do it now. And, you know, go back to college later, because that's always an option later. You don't need to, you know, this is the only time you're going to be able to do music or like start, you know, in music right now. And so I decided to move here. I was going to go to college at University of Alabama and go into broadcast journalism. And I wanted to be a news anchor back then. And so I just ditched that real quick and moved up here. And I've been here for 6 years. I worked at Chick-fil-A the first year, and I was 18 and I didn't know anyone. It was actually very hard in the beginning. I didn't have any friends. I worked at Chick-fil-A full time. I didn't know how to get into music. And also I couldn't really go to any events because I was under 21. So it was really, you know, just tough.
Wow.
And so after like 7 months, I started reaching out to people on social media, asking them to write with me or, you know, to get coffee just to meet up, because I was like, I did not move here to work at Chick-fil-A. I could have done that at home. And so I just kind of started getting connected, started writing more. And then I started playing downtown on Broadway on the main strip in Nashville, and which I encourage every artist to do. I always say that, because I learned so many skills down there that I would have never learned. I would have never probably gotten over, not that I had stage fright, but I definitely was more nervous than I am now. I don't really get, I mean, I get nervous now, but after about two songs, I'm good. Back then it would take me almost the whole show to really start feeling comfortable. But I just think you learn so many skills that, you know, how to address a crowd, how to get them to pay attention to you, how to, you know, when things go wrong, how to recover from them easy on stage. And so I played down there for 2 years and I loved it. I mean, I miss it sometimes because I loved it so much. I played at Miranda Lambert's bar and it was just so much fun. And the food was incredible, so I can't complain. But
I then actually had vocal surgery almost 2 years ago now. It's just crazy. I can't believe it's been that long. But, and so it just, I just haven't played down there in quite a long time because it's a long set.
Yeah.
Just because I'm trying to do the best for my voice and do what I can. But I think I'm, you know, going to pick up some shifts here and there because I miss it. And it's just a good way to make fans too. That's another thing I always recommend is like, to people who play down there, don't just play down there because you have to and it's like your job and you're making money. Use it as an opportunity to be your show and make it your show. Don't just make it your Broadway gig. Make people feel like they're at your concert and play some originals throughout. And that's what I did. And that really helped me. I mean, a ton. I would do TikToks before going to Casa Rosa, and those started blowing up, and people would come to my shows because they find me on TikTok, and they'd come every weekend, and it was just such a great way to utilize, like, yes, it's a job, but also if you're an artist, then use it to your best advantage,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You said that you were into talent shows and you were auditioning for The Voice and for America's Got Talent, but you were, as I understand it, you were in the I'll call it the greater Orlando area. Did you ever perform, say, you know, as a part-time job, for example, at a Disney park or at Universal, somewhere like that, to get some stage experience, or was it just what you've already talked about?
I did not. I really mainly just did talent shows, and then I did a couple of like my shows. I would perform at a bar. It's like a restaurant bar that's not there anymore. So I do that like, you know, once a year, or I performed at the Lake Yola Band Shell or the Walt Disney Amphitheater, I think they call it now. I had released an album and an EP in high school, which is not out anywhere anymore. but I had released that in high school. And so I had some album release shows, but never for a job or never. I did perform at Night of Joy at Disney as well, but that was when I was 16 or 15, which was awesome. But really just kind of any opportunity that was thrown my way. It was kind of just a hobby and something fun to do that I thought was cool. And yeah, and then I didn't really know that I could come up here and do it for real, but my parents were very supportive. My whole family actually was very supportive of it and led us to where we are now.
And audience, I'm going to get back on a little bit of a soapbox here. You know, I always talk about how when you're in Nashville, it's true what they say. Your server at the restaurant, your bartender, the hostess, all these different people in the service industry, they're probably songwriters. They're just trying to keep the lights on by having a steady paycheck coming in. Everybody has a story there. And you're hearing Charlie is just the latest one. When you hear about things like the vocal surgery, when you hear about how much time she spent just working at Chick-fil-A and not knowing anybody, everybody's got a story there. So I think you really need to be more sensitive because it's become such a tourist spot. And, you know, the stuff on the scene on Broadway is totally different from going away from Broadway and hearing the original music and a lot of the places that we talk about in this show. But I think you need to realize that everybody has a story there and they're doing a wonderful job of turning it into music that we can all enjoy. So please be sensitive to the people that you're meeting when you're traveling to Nashville. Please be sensitive to the songs that they're writing, the messages, and hopefully it's touching you because they all come on the show and say, I just want people to feel something. And they're making themselves vulnerable and writing songs based on things like you're hearing Charlie say about having to go through vocal surgery when, even though she plays the guitar, that's a huge instrument for her, her voice. And to be 18 and be in Nashville and not know anybody, that's pretty scary. So you also need to show some grace, I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. Probably 80%, I would say, of the waiters and waitresses and bartenders that, you know, are here in Nashville are songwriters or artists. I mean, I meet them all the time, everywhere. If I'm out to dinner or whatever, and we start talking, they're a songwriter or a singer or something. Cause we're all just here trying to, you know, live our dream.
That's right. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville by singer, songwriter, guitar player, Charlie Reynolds. Visit her official website at charliereynolds.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her new album that just came out on September 20th is called Off the Record. Support Charlie by purchasing a download of the album from iTunes and other online digital music retailers. You heard me say that she does have an extensive back catalog that preceded the album, an EP from last year, as well as singles that go back close to 5 years, and now you just heard about her new Christmas song also. Find Charlie's original music on lots of platforms: Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Deezer, of course Spotify, and many more. If you're hearing this interview in the first 48 to 72 hours of its release, this Saturday night, November 30th, Charlie is performing in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Plus, on December 13th, she will be performing in Hanover, Maryland. Visit charliereynolds.com for details on where and when you can go see one of her live shows. Look at the bottom of her website for links to Charlie's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and wow, TikTok. Currently over 359,000 followers on TikTok. And look on her website too for a link to her official YouTube channel. I recently saw someone's Instagram story where they had one of those quizzes up where they were asking their followers to tap in a vote for what they prefer, a phone call or FaceTime. And guess what? Phone call was the one with the higher percentages. So that is just the latest reinforcement for why there is value in downloading the free OWL app. OWL, like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. I think back to the pandemic and how everybody jumped on the Zoom bandwagon, but really, did you actually make meaningful new connections while sitting on a Zoom that had, whatever, 50 or more people all sitting there listening to someone speak? There are thousands of users on OWL, and they are there because they want to talk to people and make new contacts and collaborate. Check it out on my podcast website, nhte.net. Tap or click where it says news and then read the article under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in that article to download OWL for free from the App Store or Google Play. You will also see my invitation code in there. That is a required field as you're setting up the app on your phone. Download it, call me, and let's talk. Charlie, I have to defend myself occasionally when people try to paint the guests on this show with one brush, accusing me of just talking to young female country singers in Nashville, which, by the way, could not be further from the truth when not only have I interviewed guests from 17 different countries, let alone various locations across the U.S. and different genres, but heck, just 2 weeks ago, my guest was Archie Beats, who is a Black composer, record producer, singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, recording and mix engineer, and YouTube personality out in California, and he does not do country music. Anyhow, Charlie, on that note, though, how much pressure do you feel knowing that there are a lot of 25-year-old blonde female country singers trying to make it in Nashville? How do you sort of acknowledge that, but then just push forward anyway?
You know, it definitely is something to think about, but we all have something different to offer. And I know that actually on a lot of festival lineups or shows around town where they do, you know, a certain lineup or whatever, it is thought about because it's like, well, we can't have like four blonde girls, you know, that all do country. It's like, why? You know, why? We're all different. We all have a different story. We have different songs. We have different voices. We're all here with so much talent to offer, but I think it does definitely get intimidating. I mean, we've even had conversations this year, just me and my friends, and about, well, do I cut my hair so I'm different than, you know, wow, having the long blonde hair? Do I cut it short? Do I dye, which I will never dye it, ever. I'm a blonde personality. I love my blonde hair. I won't ever change it, but it definitely is something that is considered among the industry to be different. But I think as far as look, yeah, you don't want to look like everyone else, but I do happen to like the same things as a lot of other people. I love pink and I love glittery outfits and I love cowboy boots and cowboy hats and I love, you know, just a certain style. And I'm not going to change that, you know, to try to be molded into something I'm not just to make it. Because I think, like I said, we're just all different. And if people would look past
the blonde long hair, then maybe they would see that, you know?
Yeah, I think if someone did kind of a test where they sat someone down and just played, even if it's just through their phone, four different songs by four different artists, they're going to pick out which one did you like the best, which one did you like second best, that type of thing. And then at the end, oh, by the way, here's a picture of each one of those four artists. If they're all four 25-year-old blonde girls from Nashville, it's like, okay, see, it didn't matter. It's just based on what style resonates with the listener. What did they connect with the most? And it's really got nothing to do with, well, let me see what the artist looks like first. It has no bearing on what you're about to hear.
Which is what is pretty cool about The Voice, the TV show, because they don't see, you know, like they can't see the person until they turn around and hear the voice. And I think that's something that's really cool, like a
great
cool
point.
Concept.
Great point.
Yeah, I love that, what you just said. I think that's cool.
On a lighter note, let's get into some of the fun stuff. You have opened for big names in country music, such as Maddie and Tay, Walker Hayes, Lainey Wilson, L. King. Take us through some of the highlights from one or more of those opportunities.
For sure. So I got the opportunity through some festival lineups for those. And, you know, actually my favorite that wasn't listed on there is actually Cody Johnson.
Ah.
I opened Country Thunder in Florida last year. I opened that show and he was closing that show. But before, you know, we were just hanging out on the stage, watching side stage. We watched Parker McCollum and Jody Messina was after me, and we were watching, and Cody, before he comes on, the stage changes drastically than all the other ones, but he was so kind. He actually came up to me and was like, "You're Charlie, right?" And I was like, "Yes." And he said that him and his band watched our whole set.
Whoa.
And that we did an amazing job and to not give up and not, you know, stop, and so to keep going. And it was just so cool and so inspiring that someone like Cody Johnson would take the time not only to say those things but to actually watch our set. And when we got off stage, actually the band had seen them over there. I didn't see them because I was in my own performing world, not really paying attention, but the rest of the band had saw them watching us. And I just think that shows the kind of artist that he is and the genuine person that he is. And I thought that was so cool. And that's the kind of artist that I want to be, you know, and that I try to be.
Nice.
So it was really cool. And he gave us passes to stay up on the stage while he performed.
Wow.
And it was just such a cool moment.
Wow.
So that was actually probably my favorite moment.
I can see
any
why.
Festival that I've played and any lineup that I've been a part of, because I actually got to meet him. But yeah, that was definitely a favorite. But being able to open for artists, whether it's directly or just sharing the lineup with them, it's just really cool seeing my name next to people that I look up to.
No doubt.
I think it's really pretty awesome.
No doubt.
But that was definitely my favorite moment out of everything.
Tell me this. Earlier this year, you were really quite busy during CMA Fest with meet and greets and multiple performances. Was this your first time being active as an artist at CMA Fest? And for that matter, just take us back to all of that activity 5.5 months ago.
Yeah, it actually was my second year.
Okay.
So my second year being a part of CMA Fest. And I actually, this year I got nervous. I didn't think that I was going to be a part of it just because I hadn't heard back. Like, we hadn't heard back for so long. And I was like, everyone already knows that they're a part of it. Like, I guess I didn't make the cut. And then I got an email and I made it. So I was like, no way. I couldn't believe it because it was just so late in the game. And it just makes me feel so appreciated and so great. I don't really know another word for it. I just love being a part of CMA. That is such a huge deal to me. CMA Fest and the CMA Awards. And yeah, so it was so much fun. It's always such a blur. This year I performed every day, which was a lot, but very exciting. And I'm so blessed to be able to perform every day of it. But I also was fighting bronchitis the whole weekend.
Oh my gosh.
So that was really tough. And going on, I remember the day of my CMA performance, like my official CMA performance, we had been at the Nissan Stadium the night before. I performed that afternoon. Went and got an IV in the middle of the day to try to get some hydration and feel better for the next performance the next day at
CMA Fest, and we were at the stadium because we bought tickets that night, and we didn't get home till like 3 because of traffic, and then I had to be up at 6. So I was like, how am I going to have a voice today? You know, stressed out, but it all worked out for the best, and it was just such a fun-filled week. I definitely needed to sleep for like a whole week after it, but it was such a fun time. It's honestly like my favorite time of year, CMA Fest, so I look forward to it every year.
Let's talk about your new music video, OMJizzle. How fun was it to make that? Audience, you have to see this video. I watched it, and this is what a music video is supposed to be like. Charlie, different outfits, props, some real acting. There's extras. It's a cool location. And it's a chance to show people a much different Charlie Reynolds than cowboy hat, cowboy boots, blue jeans, etc. Tell us all about the making of the off-the-record video.
Yes. So Oceana directed it and edited it and shot it. She is incredible. She also did my music video for Somebody in Love. She's just so talented. But we definitely thought that this needed to be set in the 60s just because it's kind of funny. We can make it kind of like a Stepford Wife vibe. And so we were like, all right, that's what we're doing. And we did 3 different looks. And I went around to different vintage stores in Nashville and also in Dallas, Texas when I was there. And Dallas was where I found most of the outfits for it, and also Amazon, actually. I found all the outfits. I had some for the extras, which are friends of friends who came to be in it. And it was just so much fun. I mean, I got to play a psychotic, murderous woman, which I've never done or experienced being that. So it was hilarious. But I wish that there was a behind-the-scenes video just to see and to hear what all was being said and how funny it was. I mean, it was just such a fun time to shoot. We did shoot it in 3 hours, which is really quick for a music video. But the location that we shot it at was a little pricier. And so I was like, we can do it. You know, like we can make this happen in 3 hours. I believe in us. And we did. I mean, we had plenty of content for the video. And my personal favorite was, well, actually, I love all the shots, to be honest, but I'm gluten-free, and Kroger had a gluten-free chocolate cake, and I got to eat it in the video, which was amazing because I was starving because I just hadn't ate yet that day because we were running around, and, you know, we didn't do professional hair and makeup. I do pretty much all of my own stuff, but my friend Maddie did the eye makeup for the 60s because she's an artist, and she was like, well, it's kind of like art, so I can probably do it. And she did it, and it looked great, and it was just a funny, you know, the song is supposed to be funny and it just murder country, and so I think it really did come across that way with the video. So it is definitely my favorite music video that I've ever done and that I've ever shot, just because of the fun and the costumes and the makeup and the, you know, friends that were there. It was such a fun time.
Okay, 2 follow-up questions. The short question, the short answer is, who is the girl that is sitting next to you on the couch throughout a lot of the video?
So her name is Mallory. I actually had never met her until that day. She was a friend of my friend Maddie, actually, she's my friend Maddie's friend's friend.
Wow.
Who was available. It's kind of hard. We shot it in the middle of the day, so, and a lot of people work in the daytime, so it was kind of hard to find people, and she was available, and she did so good. I mean, there were times when we were shooting where I broke character because I was just having to say crazy stuff because the director, Oceana, is like, all right, tell us, how did you kill him? And I was just making up stupid, funny stuff, saying it out loud. And she did not break character once because I looked at her and I started laughing because I couldn't believe just the stupid things I was saying. And she was still looking at me like with concern. And I even said out loud, I was like, how are you not breaking character? I'm like, you were like a natural born actress. But she did such a great job. It was so impressive. And everyone else, you know, the extras in it were all friends of mine. And so it was just, it was fun. But yeah, she killed it. Mallory, I would hire her. Like if I was a casting agent, I would definitely hire her for some roles.
So the other question I had was, you mentioned that the location that you used, you said it was a little pricey. Now, I think it was actually on Now Hear This Entertainment, that somebody had mentioned a website called peerspace.com, which I look at peerspace.com more as for someone like me. Like if I'm traveling and I go, hey, I need a place in Phoenix to go and record a podcast interview, I would look on there. How did you find some place that you say it was pricey? Because typically it's like, you know, oh, we just used my buddy's parents' house or we used whatever. So where did you find this location that it did have a price attached to it?
So actually similar to PeerSpace, there's another website called Ave, and that is where I found it. I think it's A-V-V-A-Y.
Okay.
It's the same as like PeerSpace. You go on and find spots, and usually I do use friends' places or, you know, wherever I can find this the cheapest. But for this video, it needed to be kind of more 60s looking and a little bit more older and antique-ish. And so it just fit. I mean, it was great. So I lucked out with that one because it was so beautiful. And I mean, it wasn't super expensive. It just, you know, with the budgets of everything, I was just trying to keep it as cheap as I possibly could. So, yeah, it was the perfect spot for sure.
And it was within a reasonable driving distance, I imagine?
Oh, yeah. It was only about 30 minutes away. It was in North Nashville, or maybe kind of more towards Madison. But it was, it was not far. It was the perfect spot.
Good deal. Good deal. We're going to close today with the song that Charlie just told us about the music video for, Off the Record, which is the title track from her new album that just came out in September. Before I let you go and we play that track, Charlie, share with the audience first all about this song, if you would, please.
Of course. So Murder Country seemed to like be a thing like a year ago, and I had a lot of friends that were releasing country songs about the woman murdering the man. And I was like, what in the world? Kind of like Goodbye Earl vibes, but also in a funny way. And so I was like, well, I want one. I don't want to be left out. I just wanted to jump on that bandwagon because I think it's funny and it's just fun and totally different than what we usually do and write. So when writing that song, it was fun because we got to more be like an author than a songwriter, because we had to write the song, you know, coming up with this, who is this woman? What is her motivation behind it? What, you know, how can we make her crazier? And it was like we were writing a book more than a song. And it was really fun just because it's something different than the everyday co-write. And so we had such a fun time doing it, but it's really just about this crazy woman who is pretending like she didn't murder her husband, but then in the chorus she lets you know that she did, but she wants you to keep it between you, the listener, and her, and that's it. And so it's one of my favorites. It has been since we wrote it. And the title Off the Record for the album, you know, it's the song, but it's also the album title. And I just thought it was a cool name for the album. To have an album called Off the Record was pretty cool. So, but this song is one of my favorites, so I hope y'all like it. And again, like he said, if you do like it, please go watch the music video. It's hilarious, and you don't want to miss it.
And if you don't like it, go watch the music video, and then you will, because I think it really brings the song to life. When I watched it, I thought, what a cool story. It makes you appreciate the hook in the song even more, that you see what the song is about, and they do such a wonderful job of portraying it through this music video. And it's just a great song, even if you don't watch the video, but watch the video anyways, because it's so well done. Charlie, so great to have
you
on the show. This was so much fun. I'm glad that we got to quote unquote meet, and I appreciate you being on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar player Charlie Reynolds. Visit her official website at charliereynolds.com. As I said earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her new album that just came out on September 20th is called Off the Record. Support Charlie by purchasing a download of the album from iTunes and other online digital music retailers. Don't forget about the new Christmas song that was just released earlier this month as well. Remember, she does have an extensive back catalog that preceded the album, an EP from last year, as well as singles that go back close to 5 years. Find Charlie's original music on lots of platforms, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Deezer, Spotify, and many more. If you are hearing this interview in the first 48 to 72 hours of its release, this Saturday night, November 30th, Charlie is performing in Spartanburg, South Carolina, if you or someone you know are or will be in that area. Plus, on December 13th, she will be performing in Hanover, Maryland. Visit charliereynolds.com for details on where and when you can go see one of her live shows. Look at the bottom of her website for links to Charlie's social media. This morning, I followed her on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I know she would appreciate you doing the same. Don't forget that she is also on TikTok, currently over 359,000 followers on TikTok. And look on her website, too, for a link to her official YouTube channel. For that matter, tell Charlie you heard her and her music. I now hear this entertainment. I do hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Charlie and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 and a half years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 563. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Charlie Reynolds. This is the one she just talked about. It's the title track from her new album called Off the Record.
They brought me in, said they need to ask a couple questions. Something about my husband, they're saying he's gone missing. Where were you last weekend? When'd you last see him? And would you have a reason? But little old me, please, a girl like me would never. He was my forever. But off the record, between you and me, I've been lying straight through my teeth. He's sleeping in a bed he made, and now that bed's 6 feet deep. You'd understand if you only knew all the hell that he put me through. My guilt is light as a feather. I've never felt better, but that's off the record. They let me go with a sympathetic sorry. Then I came home and all the neighbors are waiting on me. With a casserole dish saying he'll be missed. What kind of a person could ever do this? But off the record between you and me, I've been lying straight through my teeth. He's sleeping in a bed he made, and now that bed's 6 feet deep. You'd understand if you only knew all the hell that he put me through. My guilt is light as a feather. I never felt better, but that's off the record. Off the record. I'll play the part, keep them in the dark, and I'll still wear this ring. But if the town gets to talking, I trust you won't say a thing. 'Cause off the record between you and me, I've been lying straight through my teeth. He's sleeping in a bed he made, and now that bed's 6 feet deep. You'd understand if you only knew all the hell that he put me through. My guilt is light as a feather. I've never felt better, but that's off.